Welcome to Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman. Today, Pastor Huffman will be sharing a message with biblical truths that will help establish you in your relationship with Jesus, build your life upon the Word of God, and empower you by the Holy Spirit to live victoriously. And now, here is Pastor Daryl Huffman.
You to turn to Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to do something I've not really done ever, I guess. I'm going to minister out of the Amplified Bible. It's called Amplified Classic now, praise God. I guess I'm a classic. I've been preaching out since it came out. But anyway, we're going to really minister out of the Amplified, and it just brings out some things that I think we need to see. But in Acts chapter 2, you know, on the day of Pentecost, we see great things happen. And really, what I want you to get a hold of here in the second chapter, and we'll start in verse 1 here in a moment, is this is God revealing to the church His normal for the church. You know, we hear the new normal, we're going to have the new normal, this and that, and the world wants to decide what's normal. But you know, on the day of Pentecost, God said, this is the new normal. Okay, this is what I expect to go on. This is my normal. This is what you ought to experience in your life. This is what the church should be about. Amen? Amen. Now, look what he says here in verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all assembled together in one place, when suddenly there came a sound from heaven like the rushing of a violent tempest blast. I mean, it was noisy. Amen? Like a violent tempest blast, and it filled the whole house in which they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were separated and distributed, and which settled on each one of them. Notice this, the Spirit of God came on each one of them, not just some of them, each one of them. Amen? Everyone that was in that room was having an experience with God. Hallelujah. What's that mean? You know, every time we come to church, every one of us should have an experience with God. Not just some, all of us. Amen. He fell on all of them. And it says in verse 4, and they were all filled, diffused throughout their souls with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other different foreign languages and tongues as the Spirit. Now listen, here's what I want you to get. As the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expression, each tongue in appropriate words. Each one of them received a prayer language, and each one had clear, loud expression in the appropriate words that the Spirit of God was giving them. Amen? In other words, when the Holy Ghost fell that day, it stopped being quiet and got real noisy. The Lord didn't sneak into town. He came into that room like a mighty tempest blast. Hallelujah. Like a mighty rushing stream, one translation says. So God came on the scene, and when God came on the scene, it got loud and wild real quick, praise God. And God is so speaking to us, and He said, this wasn't just for a few. Every person that was there. You know, it's sad. Paul writes in one of his letters later on, actually in 1 Corinthians, he says that he was, he saw the Lord and was one out of season or out of time, you know, and stuff. But he says there also that the Lord appeared to over 500 people before He ascended up on high. You know, there could have been 500 people in that upper room, but there were only 120. Why? Well, because some of them just didn't decide and think it was, you know, just important enough to stick around. So they stuck around for a little while. When they didn't see anything, they quit. When some of them, you know, they got hungry, they went home. And some of them, whenever they realized that they were sitting in the back, not the front, they went home. But, you know, they just kind of filtered out. But there was 120 of them that just stayed put. Why were they staying put? The Lord said in Luke chapter 24, He said, don't depart from Jerusalem until you've been endued with power from on high. And He told them to go do what they were doing. And so they were there at His word. You know, if we're going to have a move of God, it can't be at man's word. It cannot be at a religious word. It needs to be God's word, God speaking to us, God saying, now's the time. Do you realize you can't make anything happen until God says it's time for it to happen? Amen. But the Lord lays this out to us. And He ministers this to us. Now, let's keep reading. Let's drop down just a few verses here to verse 14, and actually verse 13. I'll look at that one here because it says, but others made a joke of it and derisively said, they are simply drunk and full of sweet, intoxicating wine. You know, whenever God begins to move, you better get ready because people are going to mock it. People are going to persecute it. People are going to say it's not God. Come on. You cannot be moved by the opinions of others and move with God. So before we even pray, if we're concerned about what people are going to say about us whenever the Spirit of God falls and whenever God begins to move, we might as well quit praying right now. Amen. Because there are going to be people that are going to get on you. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine, and we were talking about the things. He's preaching boldness, and he's right along the same lines and stuff. And then we were talking about all the stuff that's coming down. And I said, yeah, I said, it's kind of like, you know, we preach over Mark about, you know, receiving the hundredfold blessing. I said, but they don't preach the last part of that. He says, with persecutions. I said, everybody's claiming 100-fold, but they're not claiming the persecutions coming with the whole 100-fold. Amen? Well, you don't have to claim that, because anytime God starts blessing you, there's going to be persecution. There's going to be attacks. There are going to be people that don't understand. There's going to be people that think you're strange and crazy. Amen? So what are you going to do? What are we going to do if we pray and we bring in God's normal into this church and into this world? Amen? What's God's normal? The power of the Holy Spirit being poured out, lives being changed, people being, you know, ignited with the passion and the power and the fruit of God, speaking boldly, speaking out, speaking in tongues, worshiping God. Amen. And then people are going to persecute it. So he goes down here, and I like what happens just after this in verse 14. But Peter, standing with the 11, it wasn't just Peter by himself. Listen to me, folks. If the church is going to reach this generation, this nation, we have to stand together. Are you hearing me? The rest of them didn't sit back and say, let's let Peter handle this and see how it works out. They stepped up. They're all in this together, praise God. And it says, but Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. You Jews and all you residents of Jerusalem, let this be explained to you so that you will know and understand. Listen closely to what I have to say. That's pretty good, isn't it? I like that. Then this is what he says. For these men are not drunk as you imagine, for it is only the third hour, about 9 a.m. in the morning of the day. But instead, listen, this is the beginning of what was spoken through the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all mankind. And he goes on. But there's two phrases here in verses 16 and 17 you have to get a hold of. In verse 16 he said, but instead this is the beginning of what was spoken through the prophet Joel. This is the beginning. This isn't a one-day event. God has started a new normal today. This is a beginning of things that God wants to do. And God told us what he wants to do through the prophet Joel. And then Peter goes down and just goes ahead and quotes and speaks out of Joel chapter 2 and speaks into the people all that God's wanting to do. And the second, the statement that's in this that you've got to get a hold of is this. In verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, D-A-Y-S, plural, in the last days, not on the last day, but in the last days. Are you hearing me? In other words, starting today at Pentecost until Jesus comes back again, this is to be the normal for the church. Amen. Joel prophesied it, but it wasn't for Joel and his generation, and it wasn't just for Israel. It was for the new church. It was the new believer, praise God. And what did he say was going to happen in these last days? God would pour out his Spirit upon all mankind. Hallelujah. He would pour out his Spirit upon our children, and they would begin to rise up and prophesy, praise God. He'd pour out his Spirit upon the older generation and keep them stirred up. He'd pour out his Spirit upon the young generation, and they would begin to have prophetic, redemptive revelations and visions and visitations of God. And the Lord would be actively involved in his church during these last days. Are you hearing me? See, this is the Lord Jesus, the head of the church, working with the church in the last days. Hallelujah. And he's going to work with us through the Spirit in these times until these last days are accomplished. Praise God. Now, somebody says, well, if this is the norm of the last days, what do we have to do? How do we get in this? How do we make it happen? Well, look in verse 37. Peter went on down and preached to the people. And he preached how they'd crucify the Lord. God raised him up, made him Lord. And then it gets down here, verse 37. It says, now when they heard this, they were stung, cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, special messengers, brethren, what shall we do? Well, if this is the new normal, you know what should be the question today? What do we do? How do we get in this? Amen. How do I get to be a part of this? How do I get to experience this? Man, I want to hear a tempest blast. I want to hear the roaring of the Holy Ghost. I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to speak out clearly with expression in. And I'm not talking about a dead religious hallelujah. I'm talking about expressing myself with passion and purpose and boldness and not concerned about people calling me names or telling me I'm crazy. In fact, if you haven't been getting persecuted, you're probably not on fire enough. Amen. And we need to stand together in this, and we need to want this and desire this. And they came and said, how do I get in on this? And here's the answer Peter gives them. Verse 38, then Peter answered them, first of all, repent. Then Amplified brings out what repent means. Change your views and purpose to accept the will of God in your inner selves instead of rejecting it. That's what repent means. Repent doesn't mean you're sorry or you're sad it happened. Repent means I'm making a change right now. I'm changing how I do it to do it God's way. I'm changing my attitudes to have God's attitudes. I'm changing the way I think to think like God wants me to think. I'm making an about face, and I'm turning and going God's way from this day on. Amen? In other words, repent means I'm going to get all in with Jesus. Amen? But you know, to make that repentance work, you have to go the next step. And that's found here, and he says this. He says, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness and release from your sins. Now, what's that mean? I repent, but I also accept Jesus Christ. And baptism here doesn't mean I have to get water baptized to be saved. You can be a sinner, go down dry, and be a sinner and come up wet. Amen? But what he's talking about here is this. I want to repent and turn to God to the point that I want the world to see that the old man has died with Jesus Christ and has been buried, and I've been raised up a brand new person in Christ Jesus. Amen. See, that's what baptism is. I have been immersed into Christ, and I've been raised up a new creation in him, and the old man is dead, and I'm a new man in Christ. Amen. And Jesus is my Lord. But then look at the next thing. Here's what the third thing he says. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Woo, hallelujah. So what are the three things Peter says? He says, you got to repent and let God change your mind, your attitudes, and how you live and the direction of your life. You've got to accept Jesus as your Lord and get all in with him. And then you need to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit into your life. For the promise of the Holy Spirit, verse 39, is to you and for you and your children and to all who are far off, far away, even to and for as many as the Lord our God invites and bids to come to himself. Man, that's so exciting, that verse. We just read over and you miss it, but you need to read it over and over and over again.
That concludes today's message. We hope that you have enjoyed listening to the broadcast and that you've been encouraged, challenged, and strengthened by today's word. To receive your copy of today's message, visit us online at darylhuffman.org and click the link This Week on Radio. You can also order by calling us at 304-733-4423. Once again, that's 304-733-4423. To order by mail, just write to us at Daryl Huffman Ministries, P.O. Box 940, Huntington, West Virginia, 25712. Thanks again for listening to today's message. Faith That Overcomes is made possible by New Life Team Partners and Daryl Huffman Ministries. For more information on becoming a partner with this ministry, visit us at darylhuffman.org and click the partner link or call 304-733-4423. Once again, thank you for joining us today on Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman.